Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast, the podcast that will help you embrace, grow, and be transformed by the transitions of life. Now here's your host, Debbie Ronka.
Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. I'm Debbie Ronker, your host. And today we're going to have a very special topic about the transformation that takes place within transition. There's something I know, and that is that transitions are all about change. Sometimes transitions will take us from where we are comfortable, even in that time in life where we're producing a very fruitful and productive life. And then we're given an opportunity to shake things up, to move to another season or a new location. Well, what do we do? How do we handle this when we're really happy where we are? But transition is actually calling you to move forward. My guest today, my very special guest today is Dana Grindle, and she's going to share with us her story of her own personal transformation that took place in her transition. You know, I believe that God does his greatest work in times of transition. And so today we're going to have Dana share with us the work of the transformation that happened in her transition. I could tell you from knowing Dana for the past few years that you're going to hear someone who speaks truth, that you're going to hear kindness, you're going to hear wisdom, and you're really going to learn from someone who really knows and understands the voice of God and how he leads. And I encourage you to stay and listen to hear this wonderful story. Dana Grindle is a biblical prayer minister, teacher, mentor, and founder of Whitestone Ministries, which is a nonprofit ministry for inner healing. Dana is the author of her book, Healing from the Heart. Dana co-hosts a bi-weekly podcast titled Fearlessness and Free Spirit, Soul and Body. Sorry, I'm going to say that again. It's titled Fearlessness and Free Spirit, Soul and Body, to encourage a body, soul, and spirit approach to healing and wholeness. Most recently, Dana has partnered with His Whole House Ministries to facilitate and promote Carry Plus. It's a curriculum and online training to equip faith-based leaders and communities to walk with those who have turned from life through suicidal thoughts or attempts, with specific communication tools and professional resources to restore them to life through love and hope. Welcome, Dana, to the Transition Bridge Podcast. It's so wonderful to have you here, and it's great to see you too.
You too. Thanks so much, Debbie. I'm so honored to get to be here. And I do completely agree with you. A transition is such a powerful time to bring transformation into our lives. So I'm just honored to be a part of creating this content. And I pray with you that it blesses and encourages others in their own transition.
Well, I can hardly wait to hear how all of this happened. So take us to that place where all of a sudden you were being called to another country.
Yes, yes. So during COVID, the COVID experience that we've all had in some form, my husband received a call from his company, which is based here in Houston, and I'm going to say inviting him, but strongly suggesting that he would take a work opportunity to work in their office in London. Maybe you know how those go.
Yes.
So it was something that had come up before COVID. And then as COVID came in, all those kinds of things kind of went off the table. So it was really out of our minds. And then all of a sudden it became an urgency, not just would you go, but when can you get there? Mm. So we thankfully we had already prayed and processed the decision, months prior, that if that door did open, it was a good time in our lives to do that. Our kids are adults. They're out of the house. They're working. Our families were just in a good season. And so we felt like this would be a great adventure for us. This would be a great opportunity for us as a couple to kind of, set out. And our motto was make the most of it. you know, we're going to make the most of it. And as you might think, moving to Europe, you think, oh, there'll be travel, there'll be museums, there'll be all these exciting things. So anyway, that was what was in our minds as we said yes, and we began. And we're laughing because we all know how COVID did not end right then. But as we started making the decisions, things happened very quickly. So yeah, that kind of became from end of summer to November. We were moving in, and because of COVID, there was no going over, looking for a place, coming back, you know, all of that. We moved with some clothes and some books, and that was it. Into temporary housing, which we had to live in for 2 weeks quarantine when we first got into the country. And we had felt that was strategically timed because the country was going to be coming out of their lockdown. And they had been promised by the government that they would be open for the holidays. And so this seemed like the perfect timing for us to go. God knew best, of course, for us. But as we got there, we spent our 2 weeks, which that in and of itself was a challenge. Just, you know, two adult people that are used to doing their own thing all day long, being trapped in a small two-bedroom apartment, not able to go outside or go anywhere. And but we made some adjustments, and I'll unpack that a little bit more in a minute. But just to kind of give you the big picture, we're in this temporary housing. We come out, the lockdown's lifted. Hooray, amazing. We're going to make the most of London. Yay. You know, we book the Christmas dinner, and, you know, we're going to go see sights and do all the things. And I had booked as well a realtor, and they were showing us around quickly. And, you know, within 2 weeks, because we really wanted out of that temporary tiny space.
I'm sure you did.
So we get out, you know, we find a place in a very short amount of time. You know, our stuff is in storage. So we're getting all of that transitioned, and it seems like everything is right on track. And then all of a sudden on December 20th, the government announced within 24 hours, they were locking down for another month at least.
Oh my gosh. A whole month?
A whole month. At minimum, we didn't really know. They would announce these. As we went on this journey, they would announce it. And then as it got close to that date, they would reevaluate the COVID numbers and decide what would happen from then. So they really weren't, it really wasn't any kind of guarantee. So all of a sudden, we are scrambling to, you know, outfit, get dishes and spoons and all the things for this new apartment that we're renting. And there's going to be no Christmas. There's no Christmas dinner. There's no going anywhere. Everything, we had booked a hotel, we had booked a dinner, you know, all of that stuff was completely shut down. And that was it. And so for the next 2 months until we were able to come back for some work meetings in February, it was Corey and I locked in this apartment, knowing nobody, no connections, no holiday parties, none of the normal things. You already know when you're moving, it's not going to be the same. You know, you're not going to be with your friends and your family. It's already going to look different. But we had taken this motto of make the most of it, and we were going to explore all the new great things that London had to offer. And God really had something different in that, because make the most of it really took on a whole nother perspective. And it took on, you know, some making the most of it in our relationship with each other, and really kind of checking in with who we are as individuals. We've been married 28 years, raised kids, and now we're in the season of back together, where it's just us without all the distractions that you normally have during the day, where you're with your friends and you go to work and you go to church and you're, you know, ministering, and you have all these things outside of yourself. That all went away pretty quickly into this space where it's just the two of us in a tiny, tiny bathroom. There's zero privacy of anything.
And I know, you know, Corey's very tall. So, I mean, even the physical aspects of being in a tiny apartment.
Yes.
And then you don't even know how long you're going to be in that space. And you're totally given a God surprise. Mm-hmm. This transition's about you.
Yes. Yes. And as we're in this space, we are having to learn to work together in a way that we haven't had to in a long time. Prior to moving to England, he would get up early in the morning, he'd head downtown, he'd have his whole day doing his meetings the way he wanted, at the times he wanted, you know, just very much had these independent schedules. And same for me, I would do ministry. When I meet with people, with clients, you know, it's on Zoom or in person. And those are, you know, quieter times. There's often prayer. Sometimes there's even tears. So the type of work that we do is very different during the day. Mm-hmm. And now we're trying to do that in this small space. And as Debbie said, Corey's a big guy with a big voice. We're having this dynamic of he's in meetings and he's loud and he's got his earbuds in and he can't really hear how loud he is. And he's just laughing, talking, doing all this. And I'm praying with people and it's serious.
My gosh. You know, I wasn't even thinking about you both still doing your job and you still doing your ministry at the same time in that little apartment.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's challenging to say the least.
It was very challenging. It was very stretching. And, you know, one thing that's interesting about transitions, and I know, Debbie, you're familiar with inner healing, and we talk about, mm-hmm. you know, those wounds, those things that have happened in the past that seem like they're in the past. They seem like that was childhood and I'm over that. Well, I had one of those that came up in this season that I didn't know was still there. Mm. I had grown up moving every 2 or 3 years of my life. My dad was in the Air Force. And so we moved all the time. And it was just a way of life. It was just a mindset. And there was some hard things about being the new person. If you've ever been the new person, there's some hard things about being the brand new person and kind of the pressure, you know, that goes with trying to fit in and find your place. And
sure.
And then, you know, with us in this new dynamic, so we're literally in a new territory. We're literally in a new country. I'm in a new season of doing ministry that God's called me to do, very much outside of a structured organization. You know, just he's called me to just start this, you know, this nonprofit and do it in a very different way. And then here we are in this new space. And guess what? Some of this old stuff came up and I didn't even know it was still there.
Oh, you know, I love that. And I want to hear this story because I always love to talk to people of the purpose and the power of our transitions, that if we allow the transition to fully process through us, we discover things about ourselves that we either didn't know or things that have been suppressed or hidden, and they kind of come up in transition for us to pay attention to. So we could either be healed, restored, strengthened. So, okay. Share with us what happened, Dana.
Yes. So we're in this space and I've kind of painted a picture for you of this dynamic of he's doing his work the way he's used to doing it. I'm doing my work the way I'm used to doing it. And they're very different. We're clashing. Specifically, his style is clashing more for me. I'm just going to be real here.
No, I see it.
His style and it's amazing and it's perfectly appropriate for the type of work that he does. But in this small space, I was having this rub on the inside that just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I started getting angry and I started feeling not valued, like he didn't think my work was important. You know, these thoughts start coming up and I started noticing those are some really interesting thoughts. You know, those are not words that he ever says or ever treats me in that way. Yet my heart was saying he doesn't value your work. Your work is not as important as his work. You're the kind of afterthought, you know, you just came along with him, trailed along with him, you know, he's the important one. He's the one we moved across the world for, you know, and you start having these thoughts and these words and the emotion with it. Initially, I kind of caught it and I just told myself, you know, don't listen to that voice. But the emotion that went with it kept getting bigger. So after a couple days of that, I really pressed into the Lord and I had to say, what is this? What is this? And sure enough, as I sat down and I started looking at the things in the day that were connected to those thoughts, those things of saying that he thinks I'm not as valuable.
I know those kind of thoughts too. I love how you said you took the thoughts and you pushed them aside, but they just kept coming up and the emotional part got really strong.
Yes.
You know, our emotions signal to us. They're letting us know, hey, pay attention. So
Right. It
sounds like you got to that place where I need to listen to what's going on. And I love that you prayed about it to get insight.
I prayed about it. I did. And I said, what is this coming from, Lord? And he showed me just kind of an overlay, you know, just kind of took my childhood life and it laid on top of my current moment that I was in.
Oh,
it just kind of came across on top. And all of a sudden, I'm very visual. I need pictures to get it.
So I'm visual too, and I'm getting it. I love it. Yeah. What a tender moment.
It was. And it was teary. And I recognized that there was still a part of me in my heart that had believed that I was less than him because he was the sole provider, because, you know, because our family choices did revolve around him. I had that opportunity for many years to stay home with kids. And that was my choice.
Yeah,
that was my choice. And he blessed me in that. And then as the kids left, I had an opportunity to do ministry and to learn to do prayer ministry and be involved in that. And I loved it. And so God had just provided this next step. But there was that peace still in me that still felt less than him, and that I had followed him over there, and that I was just kind of this afterthought, and that also childhood peace where we would move and you gave up everything, you know, your friends that you loved, you know, you had to get rid of stuff because you just can't take everything with you. You know, there's this kind of cleansing and cleaning out when you move.
Yeah.
And we had done that. And so I felt like I was the one that was on the short end of the stick, and that was connecting to this part of my heart. And as I was able to give my heart a voice in that and to just communicate to him what I was feeling, I, of course, had to sit and pray with the Lord first to sort that. And then I shared with him. And of course, I mean, as so often happens when we communicate, you know, in a loving way with that other person, he had no idea that I felt that way. He had no intention, you know, he was not intentionally doing anything. In fact, he said, he kept using the phrase, thank you for following me. Thank you for following me over here. And to him, that meant, thank you for coming with me because you didn't have to, you know?
Sure. Thank you for supporting me.
Yes.
Basically what he was trying to say.
Yes. But that word was hitting me as I was this kind of afterthought. And so I was able to communicate to him, I need you to not use those words. I need you to say, thank you for being with me. I'm glad you're here with me. Thank you that we're called here together, because I knew that God had called me there as well. So it brought all this freedom and release from something that I didn't even know was still in there.
That is so beautiful. And I think that's the empowering phrase that you said, that something that you didn't know was in there. And how many of us go through life and we don't understand sometimes the way we act, behave, or feel in a given situation. And it's really like a mirror trying to show us something. And I'm so grateful for the way that you paid attention to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just going through that this morning, you know, thinking, Debbie, why do you act the way you are in this situation? You know, and I had to come to the conclusion it was my own insecurities that were coming forth. And I was like, oh, and when you see it and recognize it and acknowledge it, then the healing can begin. Don't you feel?
Yes, 100%. It's that bringing it into the light, right? When we just keep it inside and it's our own voice and that negative voice, and we just kind of keep it all stirred inside, it doesn't have a chance to be healed. It doesn't have a chance to be recognized and processed and have that healing, because we're just keeping it trapped. We're keeping it repressed and hidden. And it would have, for me in that situation, it could have been easy to just blame. It could have been tempted, or certainly was at the moment tempted. I could have just blamed him and just been mad at him, you know, for not being sensitive about the noise. And, and that would have been some level of a communication and some level of healing in our relationship, but it wouldn't have been the depth of what my heart really needed. And it wouldn't really have gone away. It would have just popped up in another scenario.
That is so true. And isn't it interesting, you know, on a normal level, when you're in a small room together, of course the other person's going to sound louder, but when there's a wound inside of us that's being triggered for some reason, it's magnified.
Yes.
Everything around us is magnified because it's affecting us. And I always think that's a great indicator for all of us to ask ourselves, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, because I believe emotions reveal, and they're indicators. They're trying to let us know something's going on.
That's right.
So let me ask you this question. So you kind of alluded towards it. So, you know, it's one thing to say, let's make the most of it, which is a great mantra to have as you're, you know, going to England, how fun to go to London. But there had to be times of like what I was letting go of, what I was leaving. Like, can you share any of those struggles or challenges that you went through?
Sure. So in that space, you kind of, after we had this moment of conversation, and this really took down the wall that I had that was between Corey and I, or that was coming up between Corey and I. And once that wall came down, we were able to really be honest with how we were feeling, because now we are still in this lockdown. We are, you know, thousands of miles from our kids and friends and family. And the only activity that we can do is go for a walk. And we go out and we go walk around the city and, you know, maybe get a coffee to go, and that's it. No restaurants, stores, museums, nothing is open. Oh, there's nothing you can do. So make the most of it became literally making the most of our time with each other and with the Lord, and having deep conversations and, you know, talking with him through his transition and his work and what to expect there, and me processing my emotions that you know, of missing friends and family. And Christmas Day, we sat and cried together a lot of that day. We did. We didn't realize how much we had or had taken for granted, living in the same city for all of our married years, with our families, with our children, with friends, church friends, work friends, neighbors. There was so much community that we had that we, you know, we certainly love the people. And I hate to use the word take for granted, because it's not like we didn't value them, but you don't realize what a treasure that is until you don't have it. And so here we are in this totally new place, and we're not able to meet anyone. You're not allowed. The restrictions at that time would not, you couldn't mix household. They called it bubble. You were in a,
a
bubble, a safety bubble. And so your household was your safety bubble, and you couldn't mix your bubble with another household. So you couldn't even meet at the park with another family. You couldn't go for a walk with anybody. You couldn't, because that would be spreading, you know, potentially disease germs.
Sure.
So we could not invite anyone over for dinner. Church was open, thankfully, in all of this. Church was open.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, church was open. It's the Church of England. So it was open, but it was very restricted. You know, you had to book a seat, and it's free, but you had to book a seat, and you had to, you know, be escorted in and sit in your isolated chairs away from other people, and then kind of be escorted out. And so, again, just this whole sense of loss of community. So there was some very real grieving that we both went through. And thankfully, most of the time it was at different times, so we could help each other.
That's a Christmas gift, Day. Isn't it? That's a gift. And I know, you know, you have such a community of friends here and your family, and Christmas was such a big moment for your family. So I can't even imagine, like, that space was very lonely with just the two of you, and, you know, just experiencing that and all that, you know, your whole transition. I think of, remember the basketball player Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? He has a transition quote that says, "The transition was difficult. It's hard to stop something that you've enjoyed and that has been very rewarding." True. Now, we know, of course, that was him retiring from basketball. But I think of, when I see that quote, I think of you and Corey Dana, because what you were doing and everything that you had going on in life here, you know, you loved it. You enjoyed it. It was very rewarding. And even though there was like that initial excitement, let's go try it, you know, there was that challenge of leaving something very special.
Yes.
To both of you.
Yes.
Were there any other transformations that went on, or?
Sure. Yeah. There was two that I would say. One, you know, as we got out and started walking around, we walked everywhere. We don't have a car there. Trains weren't running a lot. So we just walked everywhere, miles and miles and miles. And that was something that we would go for a walk here for exercise, you know, maybe mile and a half, you know, to get a Starbucks or something and walk back. And now, you know, we're going, because this is our only activity. So it's like, we're so excited to have something to do. And so we would go out and walk, you know, on a weekday, 5 miles easily. And then on the weekend, we were walking, you know, 8 to 10 miles, just doing sightseeing. And so, yes, that brought a whole transition in and of itself, and just realizing that we needed to build some perseverance. We were not in shape. We were so used to cars, transport, you know, and here in Texas, we drive to the grocery store, we load it up, you know, we just come back. And you only take a few steps in and out of your garage. It's
just so true. I remember the first time we went to Italy years ago, I came home and said, "Oh, I'm going to walk to the grocery store." Like, walking, it's just the best. And I actually did it.
Yeah.
And it was August in Houston. And I thought, we can't do that here. It's too hot. It's just too hot.
It is.
But, okay, so carry on. So I love that. You're getting in shape.
So we're getting in shape. Yeah. And I realize that, and I'll just speak for myself personally, you know, Corey kind of has his own story in this, but for me personally, there was literally this physical perseverance and this physical building strength that, that I didn't have. I was used to sitting a lot, honestly. And so being on your feet a lot, walking, there was a perseverance that needed to happen. And so there was a physical change in that brought transformation, but there was also an emotional perseverance that was happening.
That's interesting. We
had to press forward. We had to just keep choosing to make the most of it, even when the next day is the same as the one before. You know, nothing was changing in this time period. So keep choosing, keep pressing forward, keep choosing joy, keep choosing to make the most of the small moments. And, you know, we would try to find something unique or maybe take a different path and just try to make our own sense of adventure out of the opportunity that we had. And we did a lot of just wandering in the city and really got to know our sphere, the area around where we live, really, really well. To where I could get myself home from anywhere, you know, from that season of being out, you know.
That says a lot. You know what I love? You were like developing your physical muscles, walking, but, you know, if you could put a word to like emotional muscles or spiritual muscles, mental muscles, like everything that you were doing, you were just building up your body, soul, and spirit.
Yes.
This whole time, which I know you're passionate about.
Yes, I am. Yes. And so we definitely learned to walk in that during that season. And as things gradually loosened and restrictions have slowly, you know, been lifted a little bit at a time until now, they're fully lifted now. But as things were kind of gradually loosening, Corey went back to work and into his office. So then I had the space at home, which was, you know, different then, because now I'm just by myself all day until early afternoon, 2 o'clock, you know, London time is when people are starting to wake up in Texas and, you know, can have phone calls and clients or any of those kind of conversations, kids. So in that season, it opened a whole new door, which I wouldn't have been ready to step through, I don't think, in the same way. I know I wouldn't have stepped through in the same way. It opened this whole new door to do ministry differently because of this season of transition, because of the letting go, because of grieving the things and all the things that don't come with you when you move, if that's making sense. You know, there was... Mm-hmm. The relationships weren't there. The contacts, you know, when I'm in Texas, I have people that, like I said, I've known as neighbors or friends, church, so Bible studies, kids programs, you know, so many different things. Whereas now I'm living in this place at that point and I don't know anybody. I have none of those connections. I'm truly in new territory. And so, you know, it was during that time, as God is so funny in his timing of things sometimes, he had me writing this book and telling a story of a transition. So he had me write a book called Healing from the Heart. And I was finalizing that book and it was being published during this time in London. And so I would go out, I'd talk to people in the grocery or at the park or people in my building as people are gradually coming out, people at church that we began to meet. And it became a very common, you know, thing. People would ask, well, you guys moved here. Your husband has, you know, his job, but he goes to this office every day. What do you do all day? And I was able to just share, well, the Lord has me. I wrote this book. I told my story, Healing from the Heart. And that word healing is healing. I mean, that word healing is like a connector. It bridged. It was a bridge to connect with people in a deeper way pretty quickly. I'm not going to say they just opened up, you know, their whole life story, but there would be a shift. There would be a connection. Oh, what is that? What is it about? Tell me what's it about. And then as they would talk, they would either say, oh, I know someone, my sister-in-law or someone that's really struggling, you know, how can I get that book? Or they would say that they were struggling. And so it was a really neat way to be able to be a minister, to minister to people just in your everyday. I didn't have an office. I don't have a sign out in front that says, come here, you know, for heart healing. But just in the moments of the day, as I would just go where I felt the Lord leading to go or stop to talk to people, it started becoming more conversation. And then people would say it was helpful and they were sharing it with other people. So the book in and of itself has been this amazing tool that I would never have planned for or used or even have thought, you know, to have ready for something like that.
I love your book. I love its cover. And can people just go to Amazon to get it or do they go to your website?
Yes, it's on Amazon, Healing from the Heart by Dana Grindle.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And it's an international bestseller.
It is. Yes.
Yes. I celebrate that.
Thank you.
I love your story in that. What I always love to share with women that I speak to is, you know, there's the purpose and power of our transition. And when we, in the middle of that transition bridge, I use the analogy of the bridge, mm-hmm. as we're crossing that bridge to get to that next season or direction, we have that messy middle. And that's where all of the inner struggles, the challenges come up. And we have that choice to acknowledge them, get healed, get strengthened. If we don't, we wind up bringing those things with us to that next destination where we're called to go. And we're not meant to take it with us. The time of transition is all about the shift that goes, the inner work that goes on inside of us. It's not always about something exterior, which it's exterior as well, an outer work, but there's a big inner work that goes on inside of us. And, you know, hearing how you're meeting people in the store, I always tell and share with people that our divine appointments are waiting for us.
Yeah.
When we get to the other side of the transition, and that's why it's so important
important to let it process, have its work, so that when you get to the other side, you're in that place of wholeness and clarity to step into that new arena that you're called to, that deeper or higher place that God is calling you. So I just love your story and all that you've shared today. And I was inspired just listening to you, your tenacity, your focus, depending on the Lord, with the surprise of everything going different than you're anticipated. And lots of us have that happen in life. We have our thoughts of how things are going to go, but God loves us enough to say, come here. There's a work that I want to do. So let me ask you this last question. Considering like you and Corey, if you were to give just some advice to couples maybe that are going to experience a transition similar to yours, is there like two or three statements that you would share with them to remember when that transition comes?
Sure. I think the number one thing that is always important, it's the most challenging and the most rewarding in marriage, is communication. You know, that making that place for the emotional intimacy, the heart-to-heart connection, not just communicating information of, okay, I'm leaving at this time, but really, really communicating from the heart, making space for respecting each other, honoring who the other person is, and giving a place for communicating heart to heart, for letting the other person share how they feel, validating that, and then you share yours and working through things. And we had to do that. We had to do that in a new way, you know, in that new territory season for us that we're really still in, but we're kind of on the other side of the bridge at this point. But that was a really important place of communicating heart to heart and making a space to just be vulnerable with each other, to be safe with each other, that it was okay to have some negative feelings and to process those. And so that was a journey for us in creating this new space to talk about that in a new way. And we both had emotions that were popping up. And so really kind of honoring each other's process. I would say a second thing that goes with that is respecting who that person is in their gifting and their design. We have very different personalities. We have very different giftings. You know, he's this ruler, leader personality, you know, conquer the world personality. And I'm the mercy personality. I'm the comforter. I'm the mother, right? The gentle, the gentle voice, the voice of reason.
I was thinking that.
So, I mean, we're a great team. We're a great team. We are definitely a great team together. But yeah, we tend to respond, especially to conflict, very differently. And so that was a place that I had to recognize his design and his gifting and his wiring, you know, to kind of have this conquering mindset about conflict and see that for what it was, but then be able to connect, you know, as well to share who I was. And this is what was important for me in this conflict, or this is what I need you to hear in this conflict, you know, again, kind of, I had to give a voice. I had to honor who he was, but really in that same thing, honor who I was, and communicate from that place. So those were two really important things. And I would say thirdly, the make the most of it really is key, but you have to break the expectations off of what you think make the most of it is going to be, you know, make the most of what you're given, make the most of what you have in a day, not wishing it was this or that, or living in the far future, but make the most of today, make the most of this moment we have this moment together. So what can we do that's life-giving? What can we do that's fun? How can we bless somebody else? You know, what can we do to bring joy? And this was one little game that we came up with that bring joy. You know, again, Corey and I are predominantly from the South. I've lived in Texas, you know, since college years. So I claim Texas.
There you go.
Yes, I claim Texas. The South is very friendly. When you go out walking, when I go out walking outside my house here in Houston, every person says, hi, how you doing? How you know? Good morning. Good to see you. You
know, so just true.
Constant.
Yes.
In England, that was not our experience. And it's not that the people are, they're great people. But it was a hard time. It's been a very hard time for them. It was a heaviness really in the atmosphere. And then their natural personalities are just not as, they're a little more private, you know, by culture.
Sure.
And so we would go out walking and we would just make a game of saying hi to people and trying to get people to smile.
I love that though. That yeah.
So I love, you know, that. We made friends at some Starbucks. We have, you know, some girls that we always check on and ask how they're doing and keep up with their lives. And, you know, just those little places where you can bring joy, where you can make the most of where you are in that day or in that moment and bring joy. So that was where, I mean, those are like some small things that we did that gave us a lot of joy, you know, just finding ways to encourage others.
And you know what? It doesn't have to be complicated. It was just that simple of just walking down the street and smiling and trying to get people to smile back. I love that. So yes, in transition as husband and wife, you need to really take time to listen to how the transition is impacting your spouse, because mm-hmm. we each process differently, and to respect each other's giftings and talents and how that's all being called forth in that time of transition, and to make the most of it and to be willing to adjust. And if it doesn't meet, is it doesn't, you know, wind up being your expectation, that's okay, because there, that means there's something else for you to experience. So I love all of your tips, Dana. And I'm so grateful that you were here with us today on the Transition Bridge podcast, where we all just come together to embrace, grow, and learn through the transitions that we experience in life. Thank you so much for your heart and for your wisdom. And I highly encourage everyone who's listening today to connect with Dana, get her book, Healing from the Heart. I've read it. And it's very touching and very moving, and you'll learn a lot through it. And I know, Dana, you're also available for any type of prayer ministry that people want to get in touch with you.
Yes.
And I will have your contact information in my show notes, but would you like to share right now how people can connect with you?
Absolutely. The easiest way to connect with me, because I am a little bit going back and forth and time differences, is really email. So it's all one word, all lowercase, Dana, DanaGrindal, DanaGrindal@gmail.com. Or you can go to my website, which is www.danagrindal.com. So super simple, easy way to remember. Either way, you'll be able to email me. And if you're interested, if you want to know more about what prayer ministry is, or if that might be a good fit for you, just email me and we can set up a little chat and then go from there. So really easy process.
I like easy. I like easy.
<too.
laughs> Well, again, Dana, thank you so much for being such a special guest today. I always love sharing any time that I get to have with you. I always leave a better person from spending time with you.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. I just appreciate you. And I just pray blessings on this podcast and this ministry. It's really so critical as everyone is or will be in transition.
It seems to be the new story, isn't it?
Yes.
I will end with this one quote that I think sums up your story and anyone who goes through transition. Be willing to transition at every stage of your life. If your heart is open and you have an open mind, the blessings will flow. And that's from T.D. Jakes, actually.
Good.
So again, thank you for being here, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Transition Bridge podcast. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed listening today, please go ahead and subscribe or review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the show notes. And for more information about Debbie, go to debbieronka.com. That's DEBIRONCA.com.